like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we gather today, and I pay my respects to their elders, past and present. I extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Inspired by Yarra. This is the podcast that has been created to enhance, connect, and inspire the Yarra Valley Grammar community and beyond. So wherever you are tuning in from today, I want to say thank you. Welcome aboard. My name's Paul Joy, and it's my privilege each episode to sit down with a Yarra old grammarian, a Yog, and see how they've been impacted and influenced by our school and their time at school, and then the twists and turns of life beyond the gates of Yarra. And today I get to sit down with Layla Prince from the class of 2021. Layla had a short stint here before her family moved up to Queensland, but in that time she was able to develop and enhance her enjoyment and passion for the game of basketball. So this is one really for sports fans, and there's also a little bit in here for those who are aspiring and the goal setters, the people who perhaps have experienced some knockback and setback and knockdown, but need a bit of encouragement to pick themselves up and keep pushing forward. And that's certainly part of Layla's experience. I'm confident that you're going to enjoy this conversation with Layla Prince from the class of 2021. And I'm going to begin by asking Layla about what year level did she begin her time at Yarra? Enjoy this conversation.
Hi everyone, I'm Layla Prince. I'm super excited to be here. So I was at Yarra from year 7, starting 2016, up until year 9. I then moved to Queensland for the last 3 years of my high school career. My earliest memories of Yarra was definitely orientation day. That's a very, very clear memory in my head. Super new, nervous. I think I only knew one person who still to this day is my best friend, because I knew her from playing basketball, Ruby Nix, if anyone else knows that name. And I remember camp, just discussing Marysville camp, which was super exciting, and yeah, just making new friends. That was all of year 7 to year 9, playing basketball and making friends.
Yeah, that's great. It can be overwhelming when you come to a large school, and as you say, there's students coming from lots of different backgrounds and different experiences, and probably most people are pretty nervous in those early days. You sound like you enjoyed getting to know lots of people. Do you recall activities or an environment that helped you to do that? Or for you, it sounds like basketball was pretty important. Is that where you sort of found your feet, so to speak?
Yeah, for sure. The sporting program was the reason why I was begging my parents to put me there. And the sporting program was amazing. I loved it. When I moved to Queensland, I missed it so much. Made heaps of friends, like started playing volleyball, really loved that, going to AFL. So things outside of basketball, which was my whole entire world, which opened my eyes a little bit more to the sporting world, which I now carry to this day. Throughout life, it's not just basketball.
Yes.
You see different perspectives, and yeah, you meet a whole range of people. The community is amazing. So that's probably like one of the biggest things I remember about Yarra. Was definitely the sporting program and how that benefited me in my career, even now.
Mm. And I will definitely unpack some more of the sporting interests and the pursuits that you have followed. I wonder whether from an academic perspective, year 7, year 8, year 9, so that's our middle school. Would you say that you had some favourite subjects back in those days? Like if we were looking for you and you're in your favourite place or your favourite subject, and you can't be lunchtime kicking the footy out on the oval or shooting some hoops, but where would we find you? Where did you enjoy spending time?
I definitely love science. That was my favourite subject by far. And then going to a bit of, I can't remember the actual name of the subject, but the health and health science kind of stuff. So I really enjoyed those. But science was definitely my favourite. I actually remember in year 9, me and my best friend Ruby were really trying to get into that extension class, and we were arguing with the teachers and the coordinators because the imbalance of girls, and we were really trying to push to get our way in. But
yes,
it was definitely my favourite subject, yeah, science.
Yeah, that's terrific. That's terrific. And I suppose part of the joy of science is that notion of experimenting and trying things and then being aware of the results and finding out what happens. What, you know, what do you do or what happens if you, you know, add this mixture or this this ingredient and what happens and what's the result. Tell me a little bit about the notion of experimentation and experimenting in life. Are there experiences where you would say you didn't really know what the outcome of such and such an experience might be, but you decided to throw it in anyway?
Yeah, for sure. I think experiences are, one, super important, and they pretty much make up who you are. Like, my experiences that I've gone through, like, today, looking back, in the moment, some of them were hard, some of them were great, but, like, they are the core, like, they're the core of my personality now and what I carry into my everyday life. I look back on those experiences, I learn from them, and I keep moving forward and get better each day. Yeah, my story, like, I've definitely had some really hard experiences, which I think in the moment I really, like, you know, people say, like, never, like, have regrets. In the moment I was like, oh, I regret doing that, or, you know, I wish that never happened to me. But now where I am, a bit older and working on my business and basketball, I, like, they've definitely helped me get to where I am today.
Yeah, that's super. Tell me, you experienced up till year 9 at Yarra and then you left and you ended up going interstate. Where did you go and what happened? What did you notice was really different about where you went to?
So I moved to Sunshine Coast, so just 20 minutes inland of Noosa. Beautiful landscape. It was stunning. Definitely the change of scenery was amazing. But there's, yeah, it was a lots of adjustments, lots of differences I had to kind of deal with. It's a small community. So I went from Yarra, which is a large community in itself, plus Melbourne, you know, where everyone's trying to be the best that they can be. Everyone's striving for greatness. Everyone's doing their own thing. And then going to a small community where it's very family orientated. Everyone is close, everyone knows everything. I think that was the biggest adjustment as a teenage girl. Everyone wants to know your business, everyone wants to know what you're doing, and, you know, when they don't like to see you doing well, sometimes you do try to get dragged down, which I think was one of the biggest struggles I had up there. But looking back, like, I learned, like I said, we're talking about experiences, I learned heaps from it. I learned how to cope with those things, like, that's going to happen in everyday life. And yeah, like, it was really, it was eye-opening. It was hard. It was a hard 3 years. The chance, like, I took the chance I could to move back, and but yeah, it was a good experience. I still really appreciated it.
So I think in our Australian culture we have, and look, I don't think it's something that we ought to be very proud of, but we have this idea of the tall poppy syndrome. And it seems to me that you might have experienced that in your move up to Queensland, where perhaps you had certain skills and you had certain aspirations, and it sounds like there were people who were not so happy for you to be succeeding. Can you pinpoint an experience or a moment where it seems like somebody was working to your detriment, and what you learnt through that experience?
Yeah, for sure. I have a few which, like, I think about quite often. When I first moved up there, I was new, I was sporty. People said, and I loved my education, so I was always kind of academically doing well. I had dreams, and I was never scared to tell people my dreams. Like, I want to go to college, I want to play for Australia, I want to play professional WNBL. And yeah, at that moment, I was really, really pushing to make the state team, to play for Queensland. And everything I was doing, I was training 2-3 hours each day, how I ate, how I slept, how much water I drank. I was really, really pushing to make the state team. And I did, which was super exciting. I made it as a bottom age, so a year younger. And I was stoked, like, all my dreams had come true, especially because in under 16s I just missed out on the state team. So I really worked hard to get there, and I did. And then I went to the tournament. It was up in Townsville. Victoria played, like Queen, like it was all the states, and it was so exciting. And I didn't really play much, which I was okay with because I knew I was the youngest in the team. My goal was just to be a part of that 10, that group of 10. We got the silver medal, so we're second best in Australia. It was so exciting. But yeah, I think the communication up there was really difficult. So during that tournament, I got told that the coaches kind of regretted picking me. I wasn't ready to be a part of that team. So that was during the week I heard that, which was really difficult to kind of keep pushing through after hearing that from your coach. And then I kind of kept working out, kept getting better, and it was very obvious and very clear, like that's what everyone was saying. The second year came around where I was top age, so I felt ready. I felt ready to lead, to be a part of that team. The way that the selection process kind of works, you play with your like representative team. So mine was Sunshine Coast, and then they kind of pick you from that. They pick a 20 out of all of Queensland, and then you go to the state selection. So yeah, I was feeling great. I went to the tournament with my Sunshine Coast team. I was captain at that stage, but my coach kind of didn't really value me. I still went to the tournament because I knew I had to make that state team. I had to be there to make the state team. The girls, they in my team, they weren't like what we were saying. They tried to drag me down throughout that whole tournament because I just made the Queensland team before. I was getting better. I was at that tournament. I had like 30-point games, so I was performing. But yeah, off the court, there was a lot of drama that I never have been involved with. But just little gossiping that I always try to ignore. The coach didn't value me either. So it was a really difficult tournament, but I pushed through and I ended up going to the state selection. And then I'm not a quitter, but I had to drop out of that team. I knew it was detrimental to my state selection. I knew it was detrimental to my own development as a person and as a player. So I kind of prioritized myself in that moment, which is rare. People who know me, I love being a leader. I'm a natural leader. So that happened, and then I get to state selections and I'm performing. The coach is talking to me saying, "Can't wait for you to lead this team at our nationals this year. It's going to be a great team. The leadership group, this is including you, Layla. It's going to be great." And yeah, when the state selection process, was feeling great about it. The team looked great. I was like, "Yeah, we're going to get a gold medal this year. We just got silver medal. We're striving for gold." And then 2 weeks after selections, I was getting text messages saying, "Hey Layla, did you get the email? This team's going to be great. I can't wait. So happy I'm in the team. Did you get the email? Did you get the email?" And I'm scrolling through, refreshing my emails, and got no email. And yeah, I was devastated in that moment. Yeah, I knew I'd worked so hard to get there, including off court issues that I was having on the Sunshine Coast, and on court I was getting better. And then to get to state selections and feel good and have those conversations with the coach, and then to turn around and not be in the team, it was devastating, and it's unheard of for that to happen, for a player to make a bottom age and then to not make it top age. It's very unheard of in the basketball world. So yeah, after that, I kind of lost my love for the game, unfortunately, for the rest of my time up in Queensland. So in the moment, I look back and I'll say, "Oh, I hate Queensland. I had terrible experiences." But where I am today, like, They've all really helped me get to where I am. That experience, like, I'm not angry, I'm not sad anymore. I have my love back for the game, and I still have my goals and dreams to play professional basketball, and they're realistic. So at the end of the day, wow. Yeah, it was definitely worth it, but not the easiest journey.
Wow. Me and our listeners just need to pause for a moment and soak all that in. That is a lot of aspiration And then a lot of kicks in the gut.
Yeah.
Like to recall that story must be painful. And so I appreciate you sharing that with us, because there's a sense of, because you hold yourself to a high level. You want to perform and you know that you're good and you did your best and it sounded like everything was going the way you want it to. And then that punch in the guts that you didn't, so effectively you didn't make the team. You didn't make the state team.
No.
Wow. And I get it. I understand why for a moment you go, you know what? I don't want anything to do with this. This is all crazy. You've got it wrong. This is terrible. But I'm curious to hear that you've dug deep and you've found or rediscovered a love for the game, a passion for the game.
Yeah.
You're now back in Victoria, back in Melbourne. Tell me then your commitment, dedication, devotion and involvement, presumably with the game of basketball again today. What's going on?
Mm-hmm. So I never stopped playing after that experience, which is good. So I kept playing, and then when I moved back to Melbourne, I still wanted to play. I played NBL 1 since up in Queensland. I was playing for the University of Sunshine Coast, Rip City. NBL 1, which is semi-professional league, played up there, came back, wanted to continue playing in that league. So got a spot in the Melbourne Tigers, which lots of people know in Victoria. They're a very well-known club. Kept playing. Last season was a bit hard. We didn't really have many players, so it was good. And then towards the end of the season, they sent all of us an email saying, there's a small club in Werribee. They don't have a senior program. It would be really good to have one of the senior Melbourne Tigers players to go there and just talk about pathways and opportunities. And when I read that email, I was like, oh, like that kind of made me excited. I thought about myself doing that and it really made me excited. So I replied, I said, yeah, like I'm more than happy to. So I went and I spoke to about 30 under 12 girls. I told them my story, what I just told you. And yeah, after that, I was on a high. Like the girls were coming up to me. They were saying, you're so inspiring. Like they wanted me to sign their basketballs. Like I really felt like I had moved them. So after that day, I was like, okay, I think I'm really passionate about this. I'm passionate about helping other young girls. I looked back on kind of myself when I was younger, and I remember even being at Yarra, and we went to AGSV Athletics, and I realized that the men's trophy was bigger than the women's trophy, and I remember really arguing for that to be equal. And yeah, like I mentioned with the science class, me and my best friend, we were really trying to get into the extension class because our argument was that there wasn't enough girls in it. So I kind of was looking back on those stories and realized that that's something that like really I'm really, really passionate about. And so I kind of was thinking, and how could I really impact other young girls? So I ended up starting a business, coaching, just individual coaching, one-on-one, and most of my clients were young females. And then as season kind of ended, I started doing more workouts by myself and kind of remembered how fun and how much I loved working out, getting a sweat up, really pushing myself. So that kind of slowly came back. And so at the same time, these two things, my own personal basketball career and how I was coaching and helping other young girls, they were kind of growing together at the same time. And then as I was talking more to young girls, I was telling them my story, and the more and more I kind of spoke about it, the more at the end of it, I was like, yeah, but look at where I am today. And then the next time I'm like, yeah, but my dreams are still there. And then next time I'm like, yeah, I can still play in the WNBL. Like, this is possible. So yeah, the more I was telling my story, the more my dreams were coming back, and the more I was working out, the more my love was coming back for the game. Yeah, so now I have my business called Empower Hoops. That's all focused on empowering young female athletes. I think there's a long way to go when it comes to females and female athletes and how we perceive them and how we treat them. So if I can do my part and help younger females, I think you know, and everyone does their bit, they can go a long way. And then with my basketball career, I just want to gain as much knowledge now and, one, achieve my dreams, and two, yeah, as like I said, gain as much knowledge so I can really give back to the younger generation.
Wow. That's awesome that you've turned that around and you've turned your story, which, as you mentioned, was so painful, was so gut-wrenching, was so disappointing, and you've decided to look at that and realize the learning and the potential for other people to learn from that, which is extraordinary. I'm encouraged to hear that you're still training and you're loving training again. You're loving giving back and contributing and kind of having a voice and sharing your voice with strength and power, dare I say. Is the basketball dream of state basketball or professional basketball, is that still alive for you?
Yeah, for sure. Like, all my goals now, I've done my SMART goals, I'm sure we've all heard of that, done my SMART goals, and the goal is to play in the WNBL, which is Professional Australian League. I've got friends who are playing in it, I know coaches, so I know it's definitely achievable. I just got to keep working hard. I'm still young, which is good. I am disappointed I kind of missed out on those 3 years of development where I wasn't really putting in that hard work and effort. I think I would have been in a very different position to where I am today, but, you know, it's all learning experiences and, yeah, but it's definitely alive. I've definitely need to do my SMART goals to see if it was achievable and relevant, but, yeah, it's definitely there and I think it's definitely achievable and I will be
yes.
there one day.
That's awesome. I just want to congratulate you and appreciate the dream. I'm curious then, just to get a little insight into what does it take? What is a normal day in terms of, you know, you reflected on how disciplined you were with your training, with your eating, with your whole lifestyle was all with a goal in mind. You've refound that goal and you're dreaming again.
Yeah.
What is a hardworking, training, aspiring athlete, what does that look like? Just give us a quick run through of some of the what it takes.
Yeah, for sure. So usually I wake up 6:30, go to the gym. So yeah, go to the gym. I do a workout by myself for about an hour. I rush off to work my 9 to 5, which is momentarily until my business starts going booming. But yeah, so I train for an hour, go rush off to work, do that for the day, and then at the end of the day, I either rush off to gym, I either have a gym session or I have my team training session, and then go home, eat, sleep. So that's how I kind of try and get my 2 sessions in a day. Sometimes I have coaching in the morning, so I'll have to go earlier to training, so I go half an hour or an hour early to training. I get my own workout in, team session, and then maybe another half an hour after training. My thing is always try to be the first person in the gym and the last person out of the gym. I've always really stood by that. I think that's the difference between good and great. So I always try to get to training early and always try and get a workout in the morning and at night, so 2 sessions in a day. And then eating, super important. So really making sure I'm getting the protein, the hydration, the carbs. Yeah, so it's a lot of discipline, but at the end of the day, that's what you got to do to achieve your dreams. And if your dream is something that you love, which it should be, then the whole process you should love as well, which is something I'm really enjoying right now.
Yeah, and I, you know, to be honest, there will be times and there'll be maybe particular drills or where in the moment it's not as enjoyable, but if you keep your goal in mind, then you can kind of push through. I wonder, you know, this is the Inspired by Yara podcast, but and whether this is about Yara or beyond, but who inspires you? You know, who has helped you, whether they're even dead or alive, whether they're somebody you've met or somebody that you've read about, or what are you sort of, you know, and not suggesting that you do necessarily, but all good to you if you do, but who are the posters on your wall? Like who's helping you to aspire to greatness?
Yeah. So when I was younger, it was definitely Michael Jordan. I was definitely a tomboy, always in basketball clothes. There's posters of Michael Jordan all up in my room. But as I got older, I really started searching for a female role model. And I get asked this question a lot, and I really struggle with it, surprisingly. I really, really struggle because I don't think I ever found my role model, like someone who I really, really connected to. And I think that's on myself. I say to these young girls, you know, female athletes, they're not really, their stories aren't really heard as much. We're not exposed to them as much. They're not thrown at our, like, in our faces as much. I think if you asked any boy, what's the story of LeBron James or Michael Jordan, they could tell you quite quickly. So I think I tell other young girls, it's important to have a role model. It really is. And the thing is, you have to go looking for one. I think I just didn't. I kind of got inspired by people around me. So when I was playing in Queensland, I was playing with a girl called Maddie Rocci. She's in the Australian Opal squad. And as I was playing with her, I was really, really inspired by her momentarily. Now I'm playing in Melbourne at Melbourne Tigers. Jade Melbourne, she's a WNBL player. She's actually on her way to America to play in the WNBA. So right now I'm like, okay, that's where I want to be. She's inspiring me. So kind of like that. I can't really say just one person. I'm not like, yep, she's my role model, he's my role model. I kind of just in the moment, wherever I am, I find my person and who I aspire to be like, and that's who I look to at that moment in my life.
And perhaps part of your journey and your role at the moment is maybe to be that person for somebody else as they look to you and hear your story and perhaps benefit from your experience and your coaching and I think it's helpful to have somebody working with you to support you and lift you up and keep you going while you in turn then give back and you're clearly doing that. We're speaking with Layla Prince from the class of 2021. And Layla, I wonder whether you might indulge me for a moment as we move into a part of the conversation that I like to call the lightning round, where I'd like to throw some quick fire questions at you. So it'll be a sentence or maybe a two-word answer. Yeah. They're going to come thick and fast, so you better strap yourself in. Layla Prince, are you ready for the lightning round?
Okay, I'm ready.
Here we go. Layla, what house were you in at Yarra?
Oh, what were the names again? Sorry.
So there's Annals or there's Plumber.
Plumber.
There's Hughes. Plumber. We'll go with Plumber.
Yeah.
Okay, very good, very good. When you were coming to school at Yarra, how did you travel? What was the situation? Was it bus? Was it car? Was it walk? Was it bike?
Mum and Dad would always drop me off, yeah.
Excellent. And the homeward bound, how did that get home?
Parents as well.
Okay, fortunate, that's good. Okay. Tell me something that was a regular in your lunch box.
Ooh, always leftovers from the dinner before.
Okay. And reheated or you just had to go cold?
Cold, always cold.
Okay. do you recall a musical or a drama or a performance that either you were involved with or maybe some of your friends were involved with that sticks in your mind?
Oh, I remember there being one, but I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry, that was a bad question. I don't remember.
That's okay. Would you prefer to participate in house swimming or house aths?
Athletics. I can't swim. I would drown.
And did you have a favourite event that you sort of went toe-to-toe with somebody each year?
Always the 800 metres.
Oh, okay. So the middle distance?
Yeah.
Yeah, good work. Good work. Do you recall a piece of work in your time at Yarra that perhaps you worked really hard on, or you submitted it and you got some feedback and then you worked on it again and resubmitted a piece of work, or it might be something that you thought you did really well but the teacher didn't agree with you, or just something that sticks out?
I've never failed an exam in my life, but Mr. Martin's speaking French exam. I thought I did really well and I failed it. And I've never failed anything but that exam. So that sticks out. Yeah.
Oh, no, that definitely sticks out for all the wrong reasons. When you were at school, did you have a nickname?
No, always Layla.
Just Layla. Yeah, well, it's a beautiful name, so let's stick with that. Are you a reader? Do you like to read? Is there a book that you could recommend?
I've read The Alchemist recently. I loved it. Very, very good book, The Alchemist.
I think it's one of those books that when the time's right for you, it can be very confusing otherwise, but if the time's right and if you're ready, then it can be a very powerful book. Yeah, that's terrific. Are you a good cook? Do you like to? I know you food's important to you, but you're not big on cooking.
I moved out when I moved back to Victoria, moved out of home, and food and cooking was definitely the biggest struggle.
Yes. Well, let's imagine for a moment that that three people can come to dinner, and even if you've got to order Uber Eats or something, who are three people that you'd love to have dinner with at your place? Whether they're dead or alive, whether you've met them before or not, three people from any time in history. Who's coming to dinner?
Oh, that's a very good question. Always my parents. Conversations always good with them. They really dig deep. My parents and maybe Oprah. I don't know why. She just came to mind.
Yeah, that'll do. That'll do. I can guess, but do you have a favourite piece of clothing from your wardrobe?
Hoodies. Any hoodie. I love hoodies. Okay. Maybe this one because it's got my business name on it. So this hoodie.
Yes. Good work. Tell me, if I was to meet you again in 5 years' time, what does Layla's life look like in 5 years? Where are you? What are you up to? What are you doing? Where are you living? What's a day in the life of Layla look like in 5 years' time?
Hopefully waking up and coaching, going to schools, doing presentations with young females, talking about females in sport and the barriers that we need to try and break and how to set goals and really try and just work with young females all day to help them believe that they can achieve their goals and dreams, and then also playing in the WNBL.
Okay, you're going to be busy. Tell us a little bit about Empower Hoops. How can we get in touch, and what do you offer? What services do you endeavour to provide?
Like I said, my name is Empower Hoops. That's my label, and I have Instagram, that's empower.hoops. My mobile email is layla@empower.hoops.com.au. My services, I can offer individual coaching, mentoring. I really, really focus on self-leadership, leadership in general, confidence, resilience, how to set goals. Do that one-on-one, as well as I can go to schools. I just did a presentation yesterday at a school in South Bank with the year 5 and 6 girls. Went through them with their core values, how to set goals and how to really maintain and achieve their goals and dreams.
Fantastic. As we begin to round up our conversation, and I really appreciate you fitting us in between work and coaching and training and all of the things that you've got going, I want to offer a phrase to you, and I'm curious as to whether it resonates or whether you recall what it means. It's our school motto, Levavi Oculus. Do you recall what that means?
I remember it, of course. I can't remember what it means. Was it like strive for, am I on the right track?
Yeah, so literally it means to lift up our eyes, levavi oculus, levavi to lift up and oculus meaning our eye. So if we were to unpack that either for then when you're a 12, 14, 15 year old or maybe even now when you're a little older, the notion of lifting up our eyes, what does that phrase mean to you? What do you think the idea is behind a school having a phrase like that as their motto?
Yeah, I think that's it really resonates with me and what I try to tell other people. Lifting up your eyes is, you know, have dreams, have goals, focus on yourself and how to achieve your goals and dreams, and really push push for that, strive for greatness. Yeah, I think it's a great saying. And now a bit older and a bit more wiser, I guess you can say. Like, I think that's definitely something I'll probably carry through. I really appreciate you reminding me that phrase, because when I was at school in year 7, I definitely had no idea what it meant.
Sure. Layla, my last question is a two-part question. And the first part is from me and the second part is from you, as you answer the first part. And that all sounds confusing until I ask it. So let me ask it. Layla Prince from the class of 2021, what question do you really wish I had asked you in this conversation?
I don't really have one. I think they're all good questions. No, I don't have one.
Okay. Well, that changes my two-part question, but I'm going to throw one back at you. No, that's okay. Tell me then, as an athlete, as a semi-professional, still striving, and I know that you're not a great cook, but what is for dinner tonight?
Oh, good question. Don't know. See, this is my problem, is that it's 6 o'clock and I have no idea what I'm having for dinner yet.
Okay. Well, that's going to make it challenging.
Maybe Subway on the way home.
Okay, but the healthy variety.
Oh, of course.
Very good. Layla, thank you for your time. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for the vulnerability with which you shared both the highlights of your journey thus far, but also recognizing that there's been some challenges along the way as well. And I really appreciate that you've been willing to share those with us too. And then you turned it full circle, which is your story, and that is that you are aspiring again and endeavouring to help others continue the journey for their own aspirations. And for that, we're really proud and we're really delighted that you've been able to come back on the Inspired by Yarra podcast to not only share some of your story, but also to inspire others along the way. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And like I said, Yarra will always be a part of my story.
That wraps up another episode of Inspired by Yarra, where you can clearly see the groundwork that Layla has done in her own personal journey, in her sporting career, and now willing and able to share her story with the intent of inspiring up-and-coming athletes, particularly young girls, as they seek to harness their own dreams and find a way to apply rules and principles and motivation in order to make those dreams a reality, as Layla is in the process of continuing to do. I really appreciate her vulnerability in sharing her story with us today. I hope you too have enjoyed this episode and want you to know that we've got a growing library of interviews here on the Inspired by Yarra podcast, and you can find them on the Yarra Valley Grammar website, yvg.vic.edu.au. And if you scroll across and you find the community section and then scroll down, you can see a link there to our whole library of the Inspired by Yarra podcast. We'd love you to poke around in there and maybe you'll recognize a name of somebody you might have gone to school with, or perhaps somebody you taught, or maybe it's one of your kids went to school with one of the people that we've had a conversation with. Equally, if you'd like to recommend somebody who you'd like to hear about or hear from, then we're always open to that as well. I do hope that you'll enjoy another episode next time when I get to sit down with another Yarra Old Grammarian. Look forward to your company then. This is Paul Joy, and on behalf of everybody here at Yarra, I want to wish you another day of inspiration where you get on out there with intentionality to make a positive impact in the world around you.